We have studied Christ, the ultimate prophet, and as the interceding priest. And tonight, we read of him as the eternal king. But first, we need to begin where the scriptures begin, and that is with the sovereignty of God, his divine kingship over his people. And there are so many citations that we could read in the Old Testament, but I'll only mention a few. And I have written these down, and I'm just going to go through them in Exodus 15:18. Now, the reason I'm reading this is to show the sovereignty of God, his kingship over his people. Exodus 15:18 says, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 6 says, "Art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdom of heaven? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" And in Psalms 47, 2, we read, "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." And then the book of Daniel, chapter 4 and verse 35, "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand." And we read in Numbers 9:18, it says, "At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel, his ancient people, journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched and rested in their tents." So there's a few verses concerning the kingship of God over his people. In Judges, the 8th chapter, the men of Israel, they asked Gideon to be their ruler. And he said, "I will not rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Well, how wise of him to refuse their wishes. God's kingship over Israel is still highlighted in their traditional Hebrew blessing, which they recite. They recite this blessing, and you no doubt have heard it. They recite it not only at Passover, but other times too. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe." Have you heard them recite that blessing? I'll bet David has. Quite a few times. And I think that we're all familiar with the days of Samuel. Let's turn to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter. In the days of Samuel, the prophet, Israel wanted a human ruler so it could be like all the nations. In 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter and verse 5. Well, I'll start with 4. "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. They wanted to be like all the nations. Did God want them to be like all the nations? Oh, no. But although we know by the scriptures that God always purposed in his plan for a king for Israel, but this is the wrong time, and it is for the wrong reason. Now, we know it was in God's purpose for Israel to have a king, for it was prophesied way back in Genesis 49. Let's turn there. Genesis chapter 49. This is prophecies that Jacob gave over the different ones of his sons, which, of course, the sons are the tribes. And in the 49th chapter, beginning with verse 8, this is the prophecy to the tribe of Judah. And Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Oh, all of this speaks so wonderfully. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down and he crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? Is not our Lord the Lion of the tribe of Judah? Oh, yes. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. And as you saw, see in your Bible margin, if you have a good Bible, it tells you, the Revised Version tells you that, nor the ruler's staff shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And Shiloh means peace. The peace bringer. We know who the peace bringer is. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white as milk. Well, I'd like to give a sermon on this, but I think we'll go on because I'll get sidelined. But we see this prophecy of a king for Israel from the tribe of Judah way back in Genesis. And Christ came, of course, of the tribe of Judah. And then in Psalms 2, I won't turn there, but in Psalms 2 there's prophecy. And the Lord says, yet have I set my king up on my holy hill of Zion. That's speaking of Christ. Yes, his king, and his king is Christ. Well, back to Samuel, the 8th chapter. Samuel 8, they wanted a king. They wanted to be like the other nations. Let's read in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, their prophet, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. Remember, they said, thou art old. They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Wow. Verse 8, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Yes, it will not go well with Israel. It will not go well with the people. God says, give them what they want. let them have a king. But he warns them. And in verse 10 through 17, he tells how that they will suffer because they want a king to rule over them, and they have rejected God's rule. And we go down to verse 18. Ye shall cry out in that day because of what they will suffer under a king, because of your king which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. Well, we know who that was. Their first king was Saul. He was made king, and it all started out pretty well, but his kingship ended in failure. And then God chose, he did the choosing, and he chose David from the tribe of Judah. And in 1 Samuel 13:14, it says, a man after his own heart. Yes, God chose a man after his own heart. And let's turn to 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. God made a covenant with David, and it is in effect to this day. The 7th chapter and verse 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. This is in the covenant that he made with David. I'll read that again. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. You see how that is still in effect today? Christ came of the line of David. He came of the tribe of Judah. And after this covenant, which I said it hasn't ended, it's still in effect. Kings in Israel, as we read the history of Israel, kings came and went. And some of them were good, but most of them were bad. And the Davidic covenant does remain. And though Jacob's prophecy that we read clear back in Genesis 49 began to be fulfilled with David being anointed king, ultimately it will be fulfilled with Jesus. He is the king, the God-man, the son of David, who will sit on Israel's throne forever. Isn't that what we read in the Davidic covenant? Forever. He will sit upon the throne of Israel forever. And we go back to when in the New Testament, it's not going back, I guess we'll go forward, huh? But what I was thinking of is back before even Jesus was born, that the angel Gabriel, you remember the words that he spake unto Mary before Jesus was born? He said, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Yes, the angel spoke that to Mary before he was born. That's found in Luke 1:32. And then in Matthew 2:2, we read of the wise men that came from the east inquiring, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And then we remember, too, when he rode into Jerusalem. We call that Palm Sunday. He rode into Jerusalem on a colt, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. Maybe I should read Zechariah 9:9 just to refresh our memory of it. Zechariah 9:9, prophecy. "Greatly, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, a colt, the foal of an ass." And so he fulfilled that prophecy when he rode into Jerusalem. And we read in Luke 19:38 that the multitude that were there joyfully acknowledged his kingship. They said, "Blessed is the King who cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And then we remember, too, when he was nailed to the tree, an inscription was written over him in Greek and in Latin and in Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." Luke 23:38. Israel still waits when the time is right for its king. And I want us to turn to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. 1 Timothy 6. And I'm going to read verse 15. This is in 14, it says, "Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15, "Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." And let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Let's read verse 31 of Matthew 25. Matthew 25:31. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." At the end days, when Gog and Magog and their armies shall go against Jerusalem, they shall fall by the hands of King Messiah. Let's turn to Revelation, the 17th chapter. Revelation 17:14. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Praise the Lord. I don't think I'll read any further there. But when he returns to rescue Israel, his ancient people, when the armies of most of the world are against them and they have surrounded Jerusalem, the world's going to recognize him then. Chapter 19 of Revelation. I'm going to begin reading with verse 11. And I'm going to read through verse 16. This is when he comes to rescue the nation of Israel, the remnant. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he shall tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, praise the Lord. What a day that will be. And we're going to be with him. Amen. The armies of heaven, we will be with him. Praise the Lord. That stagger your mind? Praise the Lord. Well, Israel, then it's their time. It will be their time. And they will have their final and divine king. His kingship over Israel begins when he comes back at that time that he comes to rescue the remnant of Israel. That's when his kingship to Israel begins. And we have to make that very clear. And he shall reign over Israel forever. I'm going to read Isaiah. Let's turn there. I think that I just have a couple more scriptures. We'll be coming back to Revelation, but in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, sometimes these very familiar scriptures, it's good for us to turn and let our eyes fall upon them as if for the first time. The 9th chapter, I'm going to read 6 and 7, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even how long? Forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Yes. His reign there shall be no end up on the throne of David. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When absolute power is realized in Jesus, the result is going to be absolute righteousness on earth forever. But we know earth is going to be changed, isn't it? Let's turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. You might say that somewhat we have been reading of the kingship of Jesus, and you might think, well, it just seems like mostly it's been toward Israel. Well, when was the promise made? It was made to Israel. Yes. concerning their king. Praise the Lord. And chapter 21, this is going to happen. And I saw John seeing all this by vision. And John saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, no more old creation. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. That he gives us this insight into the future. Praise the Lord. I think we can rejoice in it, but I think that in the state that we're in right now, I don't think we can fully grasp it or imagine it. Well, in the following verses of chapter 21, I'd like to just dwell on it and teach it, but this isn't my subject tonight to do this. But in these following verses here in this chapter, especially beginning with verse 9, it describes the bride, the Lamb's wife, as a city, as the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. And as I said, that's another sermon. But I think I'm going to read 9 through 11. Praise the Lord. And there came unto me one of the seven messengers, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light. Do you see that? Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Well, I couldn't help but read these verses. You know, Israel, especially the remnant, they're going to rejoice in their king, and he's going to be their king forever. We don't too much think of him in the way that these promises unto Israel, but he should be the king of our hearts. Amen? He should be the king of our hearts, and he's our Savior, and we are looking for him to come, and we desire to be the bride in the bridal company that will be married unto, joined unto Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But he should be king of our hearts today. And let him reign. King, and let him reign. Well, that's all I have. The Lord bless you.
Isn't that wonderful how God can proclaim history and events?
Yes.